Now, they felt that by murdering Malcolm X, that they would also kill his ideas. But I'm here to tell you that Malcolm X's ideas would be stronger now than they were when he was alive.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
I have a message. Save your generation.
You are listening to Save Your Generation on the Bill Radio Network.
Last night, the widow of Malcolm X is accusing Louis Farrakhan of involvement in Malcolm's assassination.
I'm Kurt Loder with MTV News. The controversy surrounding Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan grew even more heated this weekend when Betty Shabazz, the widow of the slain Nation of Islam defector Malcolm X, implicated Farrakhan in her husband's assassination. It happened on an NBC Sunday morning show called News Forum when reporter Gabe Pressman showed Shabazz this video clip from an as-yet-unreleased documentary of Farrakhan addressing a closed-door meeting of his followers in 1993.
Was Malcolm your traitor or was he out?
Do I think that Louis Farrakhan had... Of course, yes. I mean, it was a matter of, it was a badge of honor. I mean, nobody kept it a secret. It was a badge of honor. Everybody talked about it.
There was no love lost between Malcolm X and Louis Farrakhan, the current leader of the Nation of Islam, but now the widow of Malcolm X has made a stunning allegation that Farrakhan was involved in some way in her husband's assassination.
I would like to know, in that film script that I just saw, I didn't see the documentary. But I'd like to know, what is it that they claim Malcolm did?
And that is what we're going to try to find out tonight on Save Your Generation. Thanks for tuning in. It is a brand new Save Your Generation day and time. Coincidentally, the show topic coincides with the date. That is something, an unbelievable coincidence. Not planned, it just happened that way. I knew I was going to be doing a Malcolm X show on the assassination date, which is February 21st. Today, Wednesday, for those of you who do not know that, 1965. Not even 2 years after the president was assassinated. Also in this same short span of time, people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Fred Hampton was assassinated. There were a lot of blacks and one president who were assassinated during this not even 5-year period. Seems kind of strange that all this would be happening. Now, what was the purpose of all this? And that's what we're going to look into tonight. Betty Shabazz hadn't seen that documentary, but I'm sure before she died, she did get to see the whole thing. The documentary is called Brother Minister, The Assassination of El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz. There are a few very, very good movies about these assassinations that took place. I suggest you watch them all. I've been watching and reading and researching. I've read a couple of books in just these short days since Friday, the first Malcolm X show. If you didn't hear that one, you should check it out. It was basically just breaking down why the United States government would have a problem with the things that Malcolm X was saying, because he was exposing what this New World Order is and how they operate, the tricks that they, you know what it was. And if you didn't hear it, go check the archives over at revereradio.net. But as far as doing the research for this, it was more so intertwined and complex, and one thing led to another, more so than even 9/11 did to me. And it's really a shell shock almost to find out all of this stuff that I've read about two books on some really, because once you want to research the murder of Malcolm X, you gotta, you know how the CIA operates, but the Nation of Islam, what were they about? So I had to read books about the Nation of Islam. But to understand the Nation of Islam, you have to actually study the true Islam, what Muslims are. So, because the Nation of Islam, and it's not really the same thing. And you learn that, and then you learn of who this guy who started it was, Wallace Furad Muhammad, and then you learn, well, who did the guy before him, Noble Drew Ali, what did he do? And all these people are like, who are these people, what are they doing, and how, why are they studying in the mysticisms and the Masonic temples, and it's rabbit hole after rabbit hole. So what I'm going to do is try to condense all of that into 2 hours worth of information. I know I'm going to leave out some stuff that should not be left out, but what you're going to do is go look into it for yourself after this, because it's going to be so interesting. You're going to say, wow, that is another, because I've never known any of this before. And if you out there already know this, then you are one reading, researching fool, because it's unbelievable, and there's stuff that your common people should know and need to know, and it would make a whole lot more sense, this whole Middle Eastern Holy War crusade that we have going on against the Muslims now, because Malcolm X saw back then, if you didn't hear the show last week, he said, you know, there's a propaganda campaign going on to make Muslims seem violent and not like a religion. And you gotta look to see, why would they do that? What would they benefit from doing that back then, 40 years ago? Today being the 42nd year since he was assassinated in 1965. But, and then when you look into that, you look into the present day Nation of Islam leader, Louis Farrakhan, who became, he basically filled Malcolm's shoes after Malcolm was assassinated. So we'll look what he have to gain after this. You know, you have to look at everyone, because everyone should be a suspect. It shouldn't just be the people who pulled the trigger, because as we all know, even the people holding the gun or supposedly holding the gun are not the ones who set it up. Whether that be Mark David Chapman or whoever else. You know, Sirhan, it's always somebody. So you gotta look what was behind that person. Or even for wasn't Lincoln assassinated in a Masonic ritual? And you have this President's Day. Now that's something to consider. President's Day happens just 2 days before. Why did they choose to have President's Day on this certain day? Is it a coincidence that Malcolm X was murdered 2 days later? And not only was that murder overshadowed, because this is supposed to be Black History Month, right? So why is President's Day? Shouldn't we just be talking about Malcolm X and other relevant black people, I guess, who shaped America during this month? If that's what the holiday is supposed to be, why would this President's Day be? And they say it's for their birthdays, but Lincoln was, if you know anything about the assassination, about John Wilkes Booth, and you know about his connections and who he was affiliated with, it has to be Masonic. And was this Malcolm X murder Masonic? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We didn't play nearly enough music last night, so what I'll do right now is start off with a song and come back and get deep into this, because there's so much that needs to be covered. So I hope you are very ready to explore the Masonic world of the Nation of Islam, or the non-Masonic. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. You know, when I saw the video, what made me think that they could possibly be Masonic was watching through all these hours of footage, I noticed a hand signal. And if you've ever read Texmar's Codex Magica, if you haven't, then when you watch videos, you're not going to know what they're doing. You're not going to see them. But when you see it, you know what it is. And you notice the handshake. You look for the thumb, and you see the thumb in the back of the hand. Then you know that's the shake. And then you look for either putting the hand in the left or the right hand path, or you got the hand up. There's just so many, but you have to be able to recognize them. And I recognized it. So I said, all right, this is Masonic. Let me look at it. And, you know, I guess other people that have also seen these things, because this is not something that I thought it was something that I had came up with on my own. But when you go research it, people already know this. So I'm just going to break it down for you a little bit and give my own little interpretation of it all. And the murder of Malcolm X, who was really responsible. And to start off tonight, since it is Black History Month, we'll play a song about a person that doesn't get talked about in Black history. His name is Marcus Garvey. And really what Malcolm X was talking about having a separate nation, the blacks here in America to go back to Africa, was really just Marcus Garvey. And he was the one who really, I guess he's the one who gets credit for thinking of that first. I'm sure that's what every African here was thinking. I mean, the minute they got here, they were probably like, get me back to, where am I at? It's all cold here. I don't know these people. I don't know any of these people. I can't even understand them. They just beating me. Get me back to Africa. So I'm sure that was, but Marcus Garvey is credited with that. And I never learned about Marcus Garvey in school. I didn't hear about him until I started researching Black history. Have you heard of Marcus Garvey? Did anyone tell you about that? So that's what this song is for him.
This postcard from hell should remind you.
The revealer of all truth, the sender of all prophets. We thank Allah for giving us Moses and the Torah, or the Old Testament. We thank Allah for giving us Jesus and the Gospel, or the New Testament. We thank Allah for giving us Muhammad and the Quran, peace be upon all of these worthy servants of God.
Welcome back to the Black History Malcolm X Assassination Special. On today, the 42nd anniversary of the assassination of Malcolm X, February 21st. And you just heard Piebald, if Marcus Garvey lives... No, if Marcus Garvey dies, then Marcus Garvey lives. And it's about martyrs, how they kill people, but then it makes them eternal. They live forever. Here we are, 42 years after Malcolm X has died, was assassinated, was murdered, and everything that he has said is more relevant today than it ever has been, and it probably ever could be. Until we go to tomorrow, where it becomes even more relevant. And each day now, it's just growing, because what he was saying, he was sounding the alarm, trying to warn us about what was going to happen. And I think that's why they had to get rid of him. But during all this research, the number one thing that I found most shocking about everything that I learned about Muslims, about Islam, about all of this, whatever it's called, this whole conspiracy, is that, number one, Allah, as Muslims call him, is God, but they're referring to the same God that Christians refer to as God, the God of the Bible. They're saying that it's the same God. Now, I never, ever knew that. Do you know that? Do the American people know that? Does everyone who says, just go kill the Muslims and their Allah, they're talking about the same God. I didn't know that. Farrakhan right there just said it, but the stuff that I've read on the internet and in these books, one book in particular that I read, which had some great stuff in it, but it also had some kind of stuff I didn't agree with, but I could see why people would believe in this religion, the five percenters, as they call it, that believe that the black man is actually God. And I can see why people would believe and buy into something like that, because for the same reason people blindly buy into and believe Christianity or any religion, because it's some explanation to life, some explanation to the way things are, some explanation that makes you feel better at night and makes you feel better about your conditions and the way that you're living. But what I found out was that they even acknowledge, Louis Farrakhan might have said Jesus, but other Muslims, I guess true Muslims, say that the Messiah's name was Yahshua, which truly was his name, and they also acknowledge that the Tetragrammaton, the four Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Wah, and He, is the true name of the Creator. But they say that they use the name Allah because it is the... Let me see how they worded it. Because it represents the synthesis of all his beautiful names. So they say, yes, Yahweh, however you want to pronounce that name, is truly the name, but Allah just represents everything. And I kind of see what they mean by that. I think better than names, it represents all of his beautiful attributes or his roles, like Creator and Almighty, and all of, you know, people have the billions of names, but Allah is the one. It just represents them all the best. And I didn't know that that's what Muslims believed, and that's this religion that we have this holy war against. It's the same, literally, same belief as what people here in America call Christianity, but it's an actually a more righteous form, because they actually follow all of the things that the Bible says, including the thou shalt not kill, which Americans do not follow. So that was the most mind-blowing thing through all of this. All of the conspiracy, all of the Malcolm X, everything else, nothing floored me more than that. And maybe to other people who have once considered themselves Christian, it's not that big of a deal to you, but it was crazy to me to know that they're talking about the same people. So, aside from that, some other things learned that I think is very important to understanding who the Nation of Islam is, because if you're going to understand who Malcolm X was, you have to understand this organization that he was part of, because it is what made him. He was a man who was in jail. If you don't know anything about him, go read the autobiography of Malcolm X, go watch these documentaries. You can even see that Spike Lee movie, Malcolm X, because that was a very accurate portrayal. Lots of stuff, even down to the part where Malcolm's getting murdered and someone yells, "Nigga, get your hand out my pocket." Like, that was an actual thing that was said, and I thought that was just brilliant that Spike Lee incorporated into the movie so many historical facts. Most movies you see don't come close, and it's all embellishment, and it's all, you know, like the Dave Chappelle life story movie. It's all just lies, but this Spike Lee did a good job in that. But I think to truly understand Malcolm X, you have to understand the Nation of Islam. And so to understand the Nation of Islam, you have to understand who founded it. It was founded by Wallace Furad Muhammad. And he did so after he attended something called the Moorish Science Temple. Now, to understand that, you have to go look into what the Moorish Science Temple was. So I looked into that. And it was founded by a man named Timothy Drew, who later became Noble Drew Ali. And he has a very, very interesting bio here. You know, if you look into all this stuff, there's no way to really verify any of it, which was odd, because I guess in the early 1900s, no one was really keeping document, you know. But it says that at age 16, he joined a circus and became a stage magician. And he traveled the world, and during these travels, he met a high priest of an Egyptian cult of magic. Now, if you think about that, that's where it all started, in Egypt. That's where the first slavery was, and that's where the first mysticism, that's why they have the pyramids and things there. And if you read the Bible, the very first time that the Creator reveals himself to the entire world and shows himself is when he rescues him from the land of Egypt. He even puts that in the Ten Commandments, in case you forgot that that was him. I am Yahweh, thy... It says Elohim. Well, it said Elohim. But that's another thing that I've researched in this. Muslims, you really need to look into this, and it's going to be difficult to pick what to leave in and what to just make you go get on your own. But it's interesting that they say that the Bible now reads, I am the Lord thy God. Well, what that originally said was, I am Yahweh thy Elohim. But they're saying that that word Elohim should have correctly been Elohim or Allah, saying that the EL was mistranslated and should have been AL. Now, I haven't been able to look into that to verify that yet, but that's something else that could make a whole lot of sense. And if you think about the way that they've already changed things, putting in words like Jesus, which we know for a fact that the Messiah was a Hebrew man. He was not Greek, so he would have not had a name Jesus. Well, first of all, because the letter J is only 500 years old. This is stuff that I've repeated 1,000 times, and I want it to be something that all of you, when someone says Jesus, just correct them and say that if they're going to use that name, they should use the correct Jesus or Hail Zeus, if you want to be technical about it. With all due respect to anyone who thinks that the Messiah's name was that, but if you really research it and find what his real name was, and he says, do not take my name in vain, and if you take it in vain, you're going to change it to whatever you feel is appropriate for yourself, instead of calling him his real name, Yahshua, which really is only Shua in Hebrew means salvations. Yah is just a short poetic form of Yahweh, or the tetragrammaton Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh. So it's saying that Yahweh is salvation, and that makes much more sense for a name for the Messiah, for the one who came in the flesh, than Zeus, which we know is a mythological Greek god. So the Greeks, who translated the Bible and translated things incorrectly that we know for a fact, could they have done that? Hey, it's very possible. We also know that wine was never a sacrament. Yet now, if you read the Bible, it says that wine, but wine was never there until the 14th century when that was replaced. The original sacrament was cannabis. Rastafarians know this. That's why they praise Jah, but they're, again, mistaken, and it should be Yah. I'm only going by historical. It's not my opinion. This is just the fact of the matter. And this is leading us a little away from the focus of the night, which is the death of Malcolm X, but it's important because you see that these religions are the same thing, basically. There's this, everything gets lost in translation, and I think that was the point. The point was to confuse everybody and make us fight and not realize that we are talking about the same God. We are worshiping the same one. We're just fighting for nothing because the people are pulling the strings and making us fight with each other. We need to realize who is doing that. But Malcolm X and the Nation of Islam, this man, Noble Drew Ali, met a high priest of an Egyptian cult of magic. And what I think more likely is that he maybe just met some Freemasons, but they say it was a high priest of this cult of magic. And this priest taught him about mysticism, he taught him about magic. And if you go find a picture, go to Google image search and search for Noble Drew Ali, and you can't find too many pictures of him, but one of them is he's doing an obvious Freemason hand gesture pose, you know, the pose with the little hand over your chest thing. And if you haven't read Tex Mar's book, you need to read it, and you can see when these people are doing that in plain sight. It's definitely worth, what, $20 it costs. Go pick it up. It's worth it. And if you want to read a book about some really, at times, insane, but at other times, very interesting, I found an article on Rents about the connection between the Nation of Islam and the Freemasons, and it referenced this book, so I went and I read this book. It's called The Book of God, The Encyclopedia of Proof That the Black Man is God. So go check out that book and read some more. Alright, basically, the main point is, the Nation of Islam is just a sect of Freemasonry. It is. It's just Freemasonry for blacks, and I know they have that separate black Freemasonry thing already that the white Freemasons don't even acknowledge as being part of the Brotherhood, which to me, why would you want to be that? You're something that they don't even want to acknowledge you. But the Nation of Islam, everything about it, let me just play this Farrakhan clip. He kind of just lays it out for you if you know anything about Freemasonry and their degrees and...
Now, as students of history, we must understand that there is a reward for our research if we are wise enough to be attracted to this most attractive study. I remember in 1961, Malcolm X talked with the great brother who wrote the book Roots, Alex Haley. And Alex Haley, writing for Reader's Digest, interviewed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X. And they said to Alex Haley that some of our original fathers who were brought into America were in fact Muslims. And that the slave masters who historically had come into contact with the Muslims as Islam spread over the known world from the 7th to the 11th centuries and black men rose to power in Islam. And since these blacks who were Muslims were conquering armies of white folk, when the New World was established, they did not want any Islam taught to black people or to white people, even though the founding fathers were Muslim Shriners, meaning that they had 33 degrees of the circle of knowledge. You have to appreciate that context in order to understand the profound effect that Malcolm X had on the black struggle as a Muslim.
And in order to fully appreciate the context of that Shriners and their 33 degrees. Let's hear that again.
When the New World was established, they did not want any Islam taught to black people or to white people, even though the founding fathers were Muslim Shriners, meaning that they had 33 degrees of the circle of knowledge.
So what Louis Farrakhan said here, this is was February 21st, 1990, at Malcolm X College. Louis Farrakhan was speaking on the 25th anniversary of the assassination of Malcolm X. And he, there in front of this entire crowd, the people who have no idea probably what he just said that Islam, the Nation of Islam, was founded by Freemasons. Didn't he? He said that they were Muslim Shriners. Shriners, as you know, are the people who are in the lodges, the brothers of the Freemasons, whatever they call them. You know, they have different names for them. And he said that they had 33 degrees of knowledge. But we all know that the Freemasons have 33 degrees. So what's he really saying here? So let's, before we dig more into that, I think we should play some more of these Farrakhan clips. Because he is a very interesting person. He has a lot to say. I'm sure you've heard of Farrakhan. He has the Million Man March, but he wasn't nearly and isn't nearly as relevant as Malcolm X was, yet he's way more, he has a larger following, I guess only because he had more time. Malcolm only had a couple years and he still had thousands, hundreds of thousands, but let's just talk more Farrakhan.
You've got to understand, and I know that those who speak on Malcolm will bring it out. The FBI, the counterintelligence program of the United States government. I want to warn you, brothers and sisters, I know the hour is late, but don't you ever forget the role that the hidden hand...
Did you catch that? Hidden hand. That's obvious Freemason terminology. Anyone who knows anything about Freemasons knows that. And that's actually one of the signals that I saw in that video footage. Someone doing the hidden hand. I think he was a right hand path, if I remember correctly. But go watch those videos and you'll see them doing it. And here he is saying it clearly, hidden hand, but he's saying it about the U.S. government. Why? Because I think that they obviously had to work together in order to make this happen. They both were, involved, but it's better for them both to just be blaming each other so that no one really sees the fuller scale of it.
But don't you ever forget the role that the hidden hand of the U.S. government played in the destruction of black organizations and black leaders. Don't ever forget this. In the documents of the Freedom of Information Act of the Nation of Islam, they will tell you that J. Edgar Hoover worked night and day through agent provocateurs inside the nation to create a split between Malcolm X and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And Malcolm fought against it. I have heard Malcolm on numerous occasions, as the press began to build Malcolm up as the real leader of the Nation of Islam, Malcolm would stand up and very vehemently say, there's only one leader, and that's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But what was the press doing? The press was building Malcolm and playing down his teacher. Malcolm was out there building his teacher and playing down himself. Listen to this. Do you know in any organization when there's a charismatic leader that the followers love? If the press tries to make a secondary leader equal to or greater than the primary leader, they incite the positive jealousy in the followers for their leader. So in order to protect their allegiance to their leader, you create a situation where those followers will deny the secondary leader for the first leader. I mean, it's all a psychological game. And you got to understand that you're not dealing with a present-day warrior that don't have a long history of how to deal with people's minds and mess you up. They created a negative environment right inside the nation around Malcolm X by projecting Malcolm as the leader over his leader. Now, Elijah Muhammad, whom the press would like to say, and the Muslims, kill Malcolm. Look at that. Elijah Muhammad, they said, had Malcolm assassinated. They don't prove nothing. They say it long enough so that it will be believed.
So Farrakhan says that it's the CIA instigating and saying that the Nation of Islam was responsible in this, but there's no proof. They're just going to keep saying it and saying it, but really it's them. But, so what's this then?
Yeah, I love Elijah Muhammad enough that if you attack him, I would kill you. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I'm not a killer. But neither are you. But if somebody attack what you love, each one of you in here would become a killer instantaneously. Am I lying? Mother, let somebody look like they're attacking your child. Here's a woman who fought a bear because the bear snatched her baby. And she ran the bear down screaming until the bear dropped her baby. Love casts out fear. We don't give a damn about no white man law when you attack what we love.
Okay, let me just stop that idiotic clapping there for just one second. What he said was, when you're love, you don't care about no white man's law. As he's trying to imply that saying that you don't murder someone is a white man's law. Hello, thou shalt not kill. He didn't invent the law not to kill someone. That's, I mean, beyond the Ten Commandments and what religion says, that just seems like a basic human law, not no white man law, and you still hear all the idiots clapping, yeah, that's right, okay. I'll just worship you, cult leader. Let's listen to what else he says.
Love casts out fear. We don't give a damn about no white man law when you attack what we love. And frankly, it ain't none of your business. What have you got to say about it? Did you teach Malcolm? Did you make Malcolm? Did you clean up Malcolm? Did you put Malcolm out before the world? Was Malcolm your traitor or was he ours? And if we dealt with him like a nation deals with a traitor, what the hell business is it of yours?
If we dealt with him the way the nation deals with traitors, you can actually replace that with, if we dealt with him the way Freemasons deal with traitors as well, because you all know that they have the cutthroat oath and things like that. If you turn your back on the Freemasons, what do? They kill you. That's the only way you're out. It's like those gangs. Once you're in, the only way you're out is through death. And so in 1993, that was at a closed-door meeting of the Nation of Islam, of all the elites and the whatever, the highest-paying members, I guess, of the cult get to be there. And Farrakhan came and spoke on Malcolm X. That was in 1993. The clips before were from 1990. On this same day, February 21st, the 25th anniversary of Malcolm X's murder, and this was at Malcolm X College. So in 3 years, he went from saying, I mean, granted, this was for the media. He was doing this publicity stunt and saying it was the CIA. But then 3 years later, he says what he really knows about the murder and says that it was the Nation of Islam dealing with a traitor the way that they deal with them. And he don't care about no white man's laws. He'll murder whoever he wants. This is out of the man's own mouth. So I don't know how it can be debated any further that it wasn't a murder by the Nation of Islam, but I think that it had to be done with the Nation of Islam wouldn't been able to do the wiretapping and the bugging and stuff like that had to be done, which obviously was done, but the Nation of Islam could have had the guards changed. Something that you always hear over and over reoccurring in this Malcolm X murder is that, for some reason, on February 21st, 1965, Malcolm X said, "No guards at the doors." Yet before, previously, he had always, every single time, everyone had been searched, there were always guards there. Then on this one fateful day, the one time, kind of like on 9/11, this one day, somehow, NORAD stands down. This one day, somehow, buildings fall from fire. First time, three buildings at that. First time, this one day, just this crazy coincidence that it would be this same day. But I've heard this repeated over and over and over again, and even at that first Farrakhan, here, I'll even play Farrakhan saying it right now, but they all go back to this story. For some reason, he didn't have his security guards that day.
Malcolm's home was firebombed 7 days before.
This is also relevant, so keep this in the back of your mind. Malcolm's house was firebombed 7 days before. This is very important. 7 days. Keep that in the back of your mind. Seven.
Malcolm went to the police and asked for police protection. But on the day Malcolm X was killed, there wasn't one uniformed policeman nowhere in the Audubon ballroom and scarcely around the ballroom. And somebody went to the brother and said, "Don't search, because that searching offends people."
Okay, so their story that they're claiming is that Malcolm X wanted police protection and security, yet, because someone came up to him and said, "Searching people offend them," on this day he said, "Alright, I guess you're right, I guess I won't search people, because it might be offensive, even though I just asked for police protection because 7 days prior someone firebombed my house, but yeah, it's cool. Do you really? Come on, how foolish are we to think that?
And that day Malcolm did not search. And his murderers got in and ended his life. They want us to believe that James Earl Ray killed Martin Luther King. But look at the similar circumstances. Taking away police protection that was loyal and faithful to Dr. King and putting people around that didn't care 2 cents for him.
Exactly. And who would be able to do that? The Nation of Islam, because those other Muslims were the only people that were around him. I could see the Dr. King thing, that it could have been the government, because he was a political figure, so he was in politics, so he always had, you know, his other political people. He was a reverend and things, but he really, truly, not the way that Malcolm was a religious man, was a spiritual man first and foremost. I don't think Dr. King was the same. He was speaking about politics. He was doing marches on Washington, and, you know, Malcolm wasn't doing that kind of stuff. He was just saying, "We just want to live our life and serve Allah." So, to think that they want us to believe that James Earl Ray, yeah, we know that James Earl Ray didn't, because they got a civil suit and won money for wrongful death, saying that the government was involved, the family of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Malcolm X family, I don't know if they've ever received anything, because there were people convicted in this murder, but when you look into that, those people didn't commit this murder. And the people who were the shooters, coincidentally, I suppose, just a huge coincidence, Farrakhan says some black men came in and shot Malcolm, but the people were actually from Mosque 25. Why that's relevant is that Mosque 25 is the same mosque that Farrakhan, Louis X, was at. I guess that's just a coincidence, but he didn't apparently know them, maybe. So let's just go deeper into this. Maybe we'll take a quick song break right now, because it is a lot of information and you gotta try to condense it, but I hope that you go out and research this stuff, because it's absolutely fascinating to see this type of conspiracy. It's just like JFK, but I think it's even more complex, because you can see two distinct, different, but the same organizations working together for this same common goal here.
And confusion after the fact of the death. That's how you hide murder. You create the confusion so that people don't know who did what, so they can't properly attack the people who actually did it.
Oh, Farrakhan, I think you know all too much about just how to do that. This is the Save Your Generation Black History Month special. We're talking about the assassination of Malcolm X.
Name of this shit right here.
What's that, though? What's that?
It's black is black.
Now that's some thinking. You thinking?
That's it right there, dog.
I like that shit. Yeah. The name of the album is the Black Album.
Yeah. Black Album, right?
Black is black on the fucking Black Album.
Sure, yo, but for real though, yo, we ain't never conformed to none of the white man's rules and regulations before. You know what I'm saying? Later for that old slave on the Webster.
Word.
So I'm saying big black, you know what I mean? I respect the piece of me, you know what I'm saying? That we from here on, henceforth and whatnot, just spell black. B-L-A-K.
That's why you gotta keep the wizards around, man.
B-L-A-K, man, black, the opposite of white, man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like a member of the African community, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, now them great people trying to trick us with their slickery.
Slickers with their trickery, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yo, keep the connotations of that, you know what I mean? It's like black. Angry,
dark,
sullen, wicked, blacklisted, black cat is bad luck, bad guys wear black, must have been a white guy that started all that.
I'm saying I don't even know why they put the C in there to be cute.
Yo, they didn't even fucking pronounce that shit. Of all of y'all niggas.
Bow Mow Crew.
About land and freedom, reparation and apologies, for Africa to America odysseys, guerrilla type tactics on them socialistic fallacies, it be about the devastation of the social Darwinistic thought, keep a brown man down sport, they want to keep eye on the fetch and set, way France Fanon put it, and lucky I ain't red wretched yet.
Yo, up in the game now, it's Ray Black, Mr. Chairman of the Mile Mile, I hear the world in all black surround sound, fabricated so you can move around now, doing this for my clan that ain't around now, buried 6 feet deep beneath the ground now, my loud sound pound down, make the earth crush the and bow down, there's four lines in the ground now, shake them down.
Black Chevy, Mile Mile, ready, plow, plow, black deadly, femme fatale, underground, rap tennis, rap race, and black race, cat sell out to the black face, and red grin, laugh not my light skin, B-S-M-O-O-T-A from P-H, backseat strapping it, cause I'm the only with big black in them.
Who the crew?
M-A-U,
gone ready, about to attack the track,
the black is black,
well how black?
Black heart, black mind, black soul,
my mind,
street for the road.
Who the crew?
M-A-U, M-A-U, ain't fire,
about to attack the track,
but black is black,
how black?
Black won't you release the black hurt?
What's black?
Yo, shady yo, the
bro, when more black starts to black out, pass out, stick my black in they mouth, if they back out, black monk like Thessalonians, the government got a black phobia, that's why they tap my black Nokia, black fathers, black mothers, black brothers, handcuffed to each other, going upstate in black buses, black dogs, rack drugs and backwoods, smoke till they got black tongues, black lips and black lungs, black is black, whack MCs get smacked, forced to go home and die when they hunted, I can't rap.
Hey yo, who that? You're right there, blue eyes and black hair, killing with a rhyme, or the bottom of my Nike Air, so quick, son, pick one, you don't want me to finish, or quickly take your 1950 and do you like the British, head on a spear, contusions in the air for Africa Maxima, I'ma drive you out of here, Mr. 116, wanna kill your self-esteem, born from part devil, part cracker from Queens, knowledge that we drop, you don't even build with, that's like me winning a rap Grammy, giving it to Liz Smith,
who the crew,
M-A-U, M-A-U, gone
ready, about to attack the track,
with black is black,
well how black,
black heart, black mind, black soul,
my mind,
street on the road,
who the crew,
M-A-U, M-A-U, ain't fire,
about to attack the track,
with black is black,
how black?
Black won't you release the black hurt?
What's black?
Shade of the universe.
Yo, everything black is whacking. Blackheads, blackmail, black cats. Funerals, gotta wear black. Black cars, black clothes on their backs. Black ball, you don't kiss it. Blacklist, you see it? And you're gone, that's it. White, they wanna be black. Tan lotion on their wide flat.
Yo, well, the mouth, mouth, gather up and let's attack. Because they're trying to put what our images, and I think that shit is crazy whack. And as a matter of fact, they want us to get this smile and laugh. I guess they never seen a bloodbath. Brothers and sisters are dying. Babies are being taken out. So what the f*** they want me to rap about? About how happy I am to be living in the slum. With little shorties all around, so I'm big gun.
M-A-U, M-A-U, gun ready.
About to attack, attack.
With black is black.
Well, how black?
Black heart, black mind, black soul.
My, my.
Who's on the road?
Who the crew?
M-A-U, M-A-U, ain't fire.
About to attack the track.
With black is black.
How black?
Black move to be reached, the black hurts.
What's black?
Shade of the universe.
Hard black, drop a sign. Four on the roll. Mow, mow, drop a sign. Four on the roll. Hard black, drop a sign. Four on the roll. Mow, mow, drop a sign. Four on the roll. Black,
you think these rhymes? This philosophy. This and the redneck catastrophe. Putting a plunge in to my history. 41 shots of reality for the generations to come after me. As it be.
I don't want anything to do with anything black for at least a week.
Are you tired of being alive? Then you're tired of being alive now come today. Are you tired of being alive? Then you're tired of being alive now come today.
You just shut your mouth and stay out of it. Because in the future, we're going to become a nation. And the nation got to be able to deal with traitors and cutthroats and turncoats. The white man deals with his. The Jews deal with theirs. Salman Rushdie wrote a nasty thing about the prophet, and Imam Khomeini put out a death thing on him, and it stands today. A certain path you don't cross.
Thanks for listening to Save Your Generation tonight, and it's new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard on Wednesdays. It is Wednesday, February 21st, the 42nd anniversary of Elhaj Malik Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. He was murdered at the Audubon Ballroom in New York City, and hopefully you're learning something very new tonight, something that you've never heard, something that you maybe never even thought that you'd care about. But now that you're seeing what was behind it, you're seeing that this was a New World Order plot, and you know exactly how they work. And he was exposing that, which was part of the reason why they would want him murdered. But tonight, we're going to discuss more about who the other sect, the other side of people who would want, who would only gain from wanting him, from Malcolm X being murdered. And, you know, Farrakhan would probably say, whose business is it of mine? Probably tell me to shut my mouth. Probably say, you know, I need to be dealt with. But right now we're going to listen to a clip from a movie where I bet he feels even more so this guy. I was doing research, looking at all that you can find on Google Video, which, you know, TV really is twice as fast at information. You can watch something and you can get as much information as if you would have read probably 3-4 books. So this guy's got a movie, it's called Regime Change. Search for Regime Change, or search for Malcolm X Regime Change, and you'll come up with this movie. And I'm just going to play, I could probably play the entire thing, it's so detailed. This guy just goes through the entire book, all this footage of Farrakhan, and really just lays out why they would want this. And when I saw this, I was floored. This guy's done great work, but I'm going to share some of that with you to make you go out there and watch it. And why is this important? Well, because we need to know why. You know, you got to find motive, number one. But number two, you have to see if there's any discrepancies in their stories and in things that have been told throughout history. Because people always, you know, they can't, no one's a good enough liar to be able to, what's that quote? I'm totally messing it up. But, you know what I'm saying, whatever. Actually, change of plans. Before I even get into that, what you have to really understand is the events leading up to his assassination and what happened directly after he left the Nation of Islam and why he left the Nation of Islam. I completely forgot to really detail that. We briefly talked about it in the last show, but that's something I think is really important, and you have to understand that, because then you'll understand why they would be so threatened with this guy leaving and going out on his own. So let's start there.
When I was on the pilgrimage, I had close contact
with Muslims whose skin would in America be classified as white, and with Muslims who themselves would be classified as white in America. But these particular Muslims didn't call themselves white. They looked upon themselves as human beings, as part of the human family, and therefore they looked upon all other segments of the human family as part of that same family. Now, they had a different look or a different air or a different attitude than that which is reflected in the attitude of the man in America who calls himself white. So I said that if Islam had done that for them, perhaps if the white man in America would study Islam, perhaps they could do the same thing for him.
So first, after he was made to leave the Nation of Islam, what Malcolm did is that he went on a pilgrimage to Mecca. He said, you know, if this is my religion, if this is what I truly believe in, then I have to follow the true religion and do most of the people who call themselves so-called Muslims here in America don't. They don't do these real things that are, if it is truly part of the religion. I haven't studied the Quran, and I need to. I would like to, because this has gotten me... Studying all this has gotten me so interested into knowing more about this religion and knowing why people do, people like Kevin Barrett, convert. There has to be something there. There has to be something appealing to these people. But so far, all I've seen is that it is, you know, maybe it is just an inspired writing, one more inspired writing, because the Bible is not all of the inspired writing. There are 66 books that make up the Bible, but there are other books out there that are also inspired writings. I'm going to have a guest on to go over this, because he is brilliant. He's a biblical scholar. He has a master's degree in Bible studies, so all he does is study the Bible. So he would know if the Quran was inspired and if it was... I'm going to have him on probably in the next couple weeks to go over this, because this has got me so interested now, and I hope you're interested. But Malcolm X, when he did go to Mecca, he learned that white people weren't the devils, as Elijah Muhammad had been brainwashing all the Muslims to believe. So he... when he got kicked out of the Nation of Islam, it was the best thing that happened to him, because then he started to see the truth. So he went to Mecca, he saw the truth. When he came back, he started speaking out against all of... he didn't speak out against the Nation of Islam per se, but he spoke out against the racist doctrine that they had implanted in him. So he started seeing the system as being the enemy, not the white man, but the actual system, and that things were just set up in America a certain way, and that the Nation of Islam didn't like that, because he was taking their followers and converting them to this new Malcolm X way of thinking, which is just the truth thinking, and they don't want the truth. You want a piece of the truth, but then to throw in your own little agenda with it, and that's what I think the Nation of Islam definitely does. So what the Nation of Islam had to do was attempt to discredit him, just the way that the CIA and the FBI does. They discredit their opponents in the media. So how did they do it, and how do they do it still to this day? They use your family member, literally. Listen to this.
Malcolm's whole agenda was different. He was about total independence. He was about self-determination, self-reliance, self-defense when necessary. And, of course, he was still fighting for the same thing that the others were, for justice. And so I felt Malcolm is a person I want to follow.
The growing popularity of Malcolm's new movement challenged those who remained loyal to Elijah Muhammad.
I didn't feel that I would have been a very good believer in Islam if I had just, because my own brother had left or whatever he had done, that I would leave. I wasn't that kind of a follower. Yeah, I would never have tried to coax Malcolm back. But at the same time, I would have gone on teaching, because I was cleaning people up, and I was making people that were indecent decent, and I liked that.
Now at this time, Minister Philbin.
Ordinarily, I would not suggest the airing of differences between brothers to outsiders, and especially over in news media. But because of the grave consequences of recent events, I submit to this medium. Because I, Philbert X, a minister of Muhammad's Mosque of Lansing, Grand Rapids, Flint, and Muskegon, Michigan, love Islam, our teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and all of his followers, I think someone should say something to speak out against the acts of my blood brother Malcolm.
The purpose of making that statement was to fortify the Muslims. So I wanted to talk to the Muslims for the point, and that's why I was brought to Chicago. to make a statement that would strengthen the Muslims. So I went forth to talk about Islam and how it is my regular teaching. But when I got ready to make my statement, John Ali put a paper in front of me and told me I should read that. That had been prepared for me to make.
All right, that's another clip from that movie, Brother Minister. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it because it has Malcolm X's family members, all of the people who were there when he was assassinated, all his old friends, everyone. And that guy talking right there is his actual blood brother. So after the Nation of Islam kicked him out, what they did was they said to his brother, you can tell just listening to him that he was just a gullible fool. They said, yeah, come on and make a statement on TV because it will unify the Muslims now. Since Malcolm's gone, we need our nation to be strong still. So come say something. So he thought he was going to be able to say whatever he wanted, like an idiot. And what did he say? John Ali, who, if you research John Ali, he was an FBI informant. Yes, he was one of the shills. He was one of the people who were not really in the Nation of Islam. So John Ali, this known CIA informant, slides him a piece of paper and says, oh yeah, read this. And he starts saying these things. I need to speak out against my blood brother Malcolm. And the consequences, he can't even read it. See, you can tell that he was like, what? I'm reading this? And they just sprung this on him. And that's how they do it. They use your family members. If you had been paying attention to the news recently, I guess about a month and a half ago, one of Cindy Sheehan's relatives, someone apparently like a distant relative that she doesn't even speak to, was on TV speaking out saying, you know, I don't think that what she's doing is right for the troops and the war and blah. That's how they do it. They get your family member to come out and try to speak out against you because that's the one people at home are going to say, well, if their own family's saying it, then this person must be a scumbag. So that's how they did it for Malcolm X. All of the same tricks. The government used the same thing over and over again. And once you see it, you can start seeing how history just repeats. So you got this Malcolm X's own brother saying this stuff about him, willingly or not, and it changed the course of history, literally, because from that point on, people were saying, oh, well, Malcolm X is a hypocrite, and he really isn't a good guy, and that really changed the thought of Muslims. So that brewed the right, I guess, environment for his assassination to take place.
Because I have seen and bear witness as to how Malcolm was raised from a level of nothing to a place of honor and respect throughout the world as a result of Mr. Muhammad's direction, because now I see my brother pursue a dangerous course which parallels that of the precedent set by Judas, Brutus, and Benedict Arnold and others who betray the honor and trust relationship between them and their leaders. Because I am aware of the great mental illness which besets, unfortunately, many in America, and which besetted my mother, whom I love, and many of my other brothers, and which now may have taken another victim, my brother Malcolm.
If I had read it, I wouldn't have read it over the air, you see. If I had looked at it, I wouldn't have read it over the air. And I asked John Ali about it. And he said, oh, he said, that's just a statement that was prepared for you to read. He said, I know the messenger will be very pleased with the way you read it. And that was it.
I talked to Malcolm about what Filbert had said, and Malcolm said he wasn't surprised. He said he knew that they were going to use everybody they could, and they could see that they could use Filbert, and they were going to do it. He said he wasn't surprised at the things that Filbert had said in the paper and all.
Malcolm knew what they were going to do to him, and he knew the games that they play and how that these corporations, not even corporations, but how these entities operate, these hidden hands, if you want to call it that, exactly how they operate. But no one really knew the real reason that the Nation of Islam had gotten rid of him. People assumed that it was because the Kennedy chickens coming home to roost thing, so they thought, all right, well, Malcolm did it for that reason. Well, maybe I'll play some more clips. Let me just see if I can find a clip of it.
By the early 1960s, the leadership of Elijah Muhammad's lost foundation had grown fat and comfortable. The minister of Harlem's Temple No. 7 and national spokesman for the nation could not shut his eyes to the ethical contradictions nor the corruption which had woven its way into the core of the movement.
Now, the fruit of Islam that he had developed Farrakhan that he had trained began to create an atmosphere within the nation that caused Elijah Muhammad to be suspicious of the activity of Malcolm X. This suspicion was brought about because the old man's perpetual illness and the assumption that Malcolm X, because he was the best known Muslim in the world at the time, would be the logical successor to Elijah. Some of the people who came into the nation were reformed crooks. Some of them went through the motion of being reformed, but were still crooks stealing from the nation.
Millions and millions of dollars that had just been squandered. He said the government wanted $5 million in taxes. There were apartment buildings that had been bought that were in ruins. There was farmland, 1,600 acres, orchards, fertile land that had just gone to waste. There were people that would walk into the businesses and open the cash registers, officials, and just take whatever money they wanted.
They knew because Malcolm was an honest man, he would do some house cleaning. He might clean them out.
A number of Elijah's secretaries have become pregnant and are expelled from the nation on charges of committing adultery and fornication. The minister meets with the women, and upon being told by them that Elijah is the father of their children, he goes to Phoenix to see the man who had reclaimed, redeemed, and resurrected him from mental and spiritual death. At Elijah's estate in Arizona, the old man counsels his minister that many biblical prophets and patriarchs also had shortcomings. Back home in New York, the minister repeats what Elijah told him to two nation officials, the captain of Temple No. 7's FOI, Joseph X, and the Boston minister, Louis X. They say they already know the truth about Elijah and the women, and then they report the minister to national headquarters in Chicago for spreading rumor and causing doubt and dissension among the faithful.
All right, did you take all that in? Because it's a lot of information packed into a little three-minute clip. They really lay it on you. But what Malcolm X found out was that Elijah Muhammad, the honorable Elijah Muhammad, had been the father for 8 children by 6 different women, 6 of his secretaries. Now, these were not his wives, but later in the future, Farrakhan dismisses this and says that these were his wives. But if they were his wives, why did they put them away? They did some kind of disassociation of them, whatever the Nation of Islam does. So why, if they were his wives, why would he have to go visit these women who were part of the nation and then got put away because they weren't his wives? So when Malcolm found out about that, he took that to Louis X and to these people, to the other ministers, and they reported him for... Did you hear that? They said Malcolm was reported for telling the truth. So that was one reason that they would want Malcolm dead, because he knew the truth about this, and if he would tell the truth, then that could totally ruin the Nation of Islam and totally ruin Elijah Muhammad.
It is felt that Malcolm's presence in Chicago is the most adequate form of disruption possible, as it is causing extreme discontent in the royal family and may well set off a chain reaction.
I didn't leave, number one. I was put out, no matter... And since there was no justification for them putting me out, they had to make it appear to the public that I left of my own volition. But it was in February of 1963 that Wallace Muhammad, one of the sons of Elijah Muhammad, pointed out to me that his father had a very serious moral problem, which he had kept a careful secret up to that point.
There's some truth to that. But there was never any intent on my part to separate Malcolm and my father, or to harm in the least their relationship. No, that was never any desire in me like that.
Elijah Muhammad's own son admits that that's the truth, that he told Malcolm about his father fathering all these children with these women, and that's why they kicked him out, because he then found out about it, and they knew that Malcolm was an honest man, that they couldn't do their Freemason, do whatever you want, but then pretend to be some religious holy person, because Malcolm truly was this religious holy person who cared about this and went to Mecca and did the pilgrimage and truly believed in Islam. He wasn't just doing this to make money and be a showboating rich person and have all these... No, he was the legit, the real deal. And they said, wait a second, these type of people, these do-gooders, always ruin the fun for everyone else. So they had to kill him because of that. And, you know, this is really detailed in that Regime Change. Maybe I'll play a clip from that. You really need to check out Regime Change. Search for it on Google Video. It's this guy from Britain, and he really... every single thing about every single area. And this one he really gets specifically about the different... why it's important of knowing about Elijah Muhammad and these women, because this is the reason Malcolm X was murdered. But then on the other hand, you can't even really say that, because there were so many factors and so many reasons, and to pick out one would just be really foolish. But it's really hard to know where to go to next, because there are so many different facets and so many different areas. So much stuff is going to be left out, but hopefully you're getting a basic idea of all the things that it took and all the things that happened on this day. Well, not on this day in particular, but what led up to this day 42 years ago, February 21st of 1965.
And it's quite clear that you people had already determined in your minds that Malcolm X must be killed, even though he hadn't done anything that could in any way be that could in any way justify the killing of him. But you were the aggressors. You were the ones who were bent on his ruination. And it was only after it had become crystal clear that this organization was trying to kill him that Malcolm X was compelled to tell people the real reasons why he was out of the organization.
If Elijah Muhammad is the leader of the black people in this country, as he professes, then he should be concerned with the brutal treatment that our people are receiving in the state of Mississippi, and send his well-trained fruit of Islam down there to protect our people, instead of sending them out here in the street to attack former Muslims who don't want to go along with this program anymore.
In fact, the Nation of Islam, even by the time of the Mike Wallace interview, was trying to repossess his home. The same Malcolm X who had built temples for the Nation of Islam across the United States, the same Malcolm X who had brought millions and millions and millions of dollars into the coffers of the Nation of Islam and brought tens of thousands of followers into the ranks of the Nation of Islam, this was the same man that you were trying to deprive of a $16,000 home in Elmhurst.
I would like to ask Sister Tynetta Muhammad, Sister Evelyn Muhammad, Sister Ola Muhammad, Sister June Muhammad, if you would please come up. Stand up and give these sisters their due.
Now, isn't that interesting? Here you are at your Savior's Day address in 1993, inviting onto the stage the very wives that back in 1964, the Nation of Islam leadership was denying to its followers even existed.
These are not no cheap women. These are wise women who produce wise children.
When you staged this propaganda stunt at your Savior's Day address, all you did was vindicate Malcolm X. Malcolm X had in fact said that Elijah Muhammad had fathered children by his secretaries. And there were the secretaries at your Savior's Day address, 1993.
Why are they threatening your life?
Well, primarily because they're afraid that I will tell the real reason that they've been, that I'm out of the black Muslim movement, which I never told. I kept to myself. But the real reason is that Elijah Muhammad, the head of the movement, is the father of eight children by six different teenage girls. Six different teenage girls who were his private personal secretary.
The person that you ended up vindicating was Malcolm, and the person you ended up condemning as liars was the Nation of Islam. Because in 1964, it was your position that Malcolm X was lying, that there was no such thing as wives of the messenger, and that Malcolm was some hypocrite. And in 1993, you proved that it was yourselves that were the hypocrites.
All right, that was a clip from that movie done by that British guy called Regime Change. Go to video.google.com, type in Regime Change. I'm pretty sure it's the first video. It's incredible. The guy has the most intense clips. He has the books right there on hand, and everything that Farrakhan says, he can refute it and tell the truth about it. And everything that they try to lie about, he just... it's great. He breaks down all of the lies, and you can see that that's what really happened. He found out about all these hidden wives, even though they weren't really his wives. I guess after the fact, after they realized that they couldn't lie about it anymore, they said, all right, we're just going to bring them out to the open and show them to everyone and show everyone that they are his wives. But they weren't his wives at the time. And that's why Malcolm was kicked out, because he found out about it. So the Nation of Islam had reason upon reason. Number one, they thought that they would lose all their members to Malcolm, because people would rather go to Malcolm who was speaking the truth. Number two, they were afraid that Malcolm would expose the truth about the honorable, so-called honorable Elijah Muhammad. And number three, they thought that Malcolm would clean out all of the crooks who were stealing all the money. So they had three reasons off the top of the head that they would want him dead. And the CIA had countless reasons. So you see, the two of them, they worked together to create a common goal, a common cause. And I really urge all of you to go out and read the autobiography of Malcolm X. Go watch all the movies. Actually, just watch COINTELPRO. Wait, it's called The War on Black America, COINTELPRO. Watch that one. Watch Brother Minister. That one I don't think is on Google Video. You'll have to actually get the DVD. It's called Brother Minister, The Assassination of El-Haj Malik Shabazz. That one is, it's great. It's got all his family members in it. There is another one called, what's that one called? Make It Plain. Malcolm X, Make It Plain. That one is on Google Video. Watch that. Watch all these and learn about this man. Learn why the CIA and another organization, a Masonic organization at that, had what was obviously a Masonic murder. When you turn your back on the Masons, they have a cutthroat. Farrakhan actually said that. We got to do what we have to do to cutthroats, because that's what they actually call it. In one of their rituals, they have something where, you know, if I turn my back on the Brotherhood, I slice my neck, cut my throat, something to that effect. Go read up about Masons. Go read Morals and Dogma. Go learn about Albert Pike. Go learn about all of these people who control, to this day, what we think and what we know about this world. And while you do that, listen to some music here. Let's listen to a song. When we get back, we'll talk more about this. I'm feeling overwhelmed in information. As usual with these subjects, you don't know where to begin, you don't know where to end, because there's always so much. You feel like it can just go on for eternity, and because it can. That's the way that they get it. People will easier believe a big lie than a little lie. So a big lie, it takes big truth. It takes a lot of information to expose it, and there's just too much here. So this is just a little taste for you to go out and get your own.
Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not, I just did so much damage to my body and my brain. Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not,
I just did so much damage to my body and my brain.
Reverse the brain damage. It's not too late. Listen to Save Your Generation. Friday nights at 8 Eastern. Only on RealRadio.net. Corporate media equals brain damage.
Brain damage ever since the day I was born. Drugs, what they used to say I was on.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams.
the cult of personality, the cult of personality.
You're listening to Save Your Generation on Revere Radio Network. That's revereradio.net. Thank you so much, so much for being our guest tonight on this special Black History Month expose, maybe, of who really killed Malcolm X. But before we even get into why I played a clip of Muhammad Ali right there, I want you to go to revereradio.net and hit the donation button so we can keep doing this. So we can keep having people talk about on the radio things like Black History. On any of the other Patriot networks and shows, I haven't heard one thing about any Black people in Black History Month. I did hear earlier in the week some people talk about President's Day, though, but nothing about Black History Month all month. To me, that kind of makes me feel like some of the stuff is warranted, that the propaganda machine says that this is a racist movement. And I hope that everybody out there is not racist. I'm not racist. I hope you all aren't either. I don't know, maybe people just don't see the relevance in it the way that I see it, and see the direct correlation between then and now. Our struggles are exactly the same, our fights the same, and our enemies are the same. So how could we not be connected to this civil rights movement, to these black people? How are we not connected to them? They are our brothers. They are the first freedom fighters in this nation. I know people want to say that the 1776, that wasn't grassroots, okay? That also was done by the Masons. Even the Boston Tea Party, if you don't know, the people who did it were Freemasons, and they dressed up as Indians. This is something you can look up in any encyclopedia. Go search for it on the internet. It wasn't a grassroots movement. The American Revolution was all staged. It was scammed. They wanted to set up a new independent country here. You think the British and the United States didn't work together from day one? Don't think they still work together to this day? Go ask Tony Blair if they still work together. They do. And they did then. But the civil rights movement, I think this was the first true grassroots rebellion to this system and this corrupt society. So why aren't we studying it more? Why don't we study the mistakes that they made and see how we can not fall into those same mistakes and traps, and not let the same things happen, not let them infiltrate and break up and dismantle us the way that they did to these movements? Let's do that. And the only way we can do that is by researching this stuff extensively even. All right, so that song I just played is a classic from 1990. I remember being a kid and absolutely loving this band, Living Color, Cult of Personality. I don't know how many of you out there were metal nerds growing up, but I was. I was into, I guess maybe hair metal is what they call. Who cares? We're talking about Malcolm X. We're not talking about nerdness, but Muhammad Ali, also known as Cassius Clay, was that clip that started off this. And the reason I played that clip was because he beat Sonny Liston. He was the underdog. He was named Cassius Clay still. And in the 7th round, Sonny Liston did not come out to answer the bell. Sonny Liston was the world champion at the time, and Ali beat him. It's significant because on that night, Malcolm X was there, sitting in seat 7. I know this because Malcolm made it a point to say it. Earlier, if you had paid attention, I said, keep in the back of your mind the number 7.
Though not a member of the nation, Clay had been visiting Muslim temples for 2 years and had asked Malcolm to help him mentally prepare for the fight against Liston. Malcolm offered to bring Cassius Clay into the Nation of Islam in exchange for his own reinstatement. But the nation's hierarchy ignored Malcolm's offer. Like most of America, they saw the young boxer as a loudmouth with little chance of beating Liston.
Sonny has a big mouth below his left eye.
As Malcolm watched from ringside, the young Clay wore down the older champion. At the beginning of the 7th round, a battered Liston could not come out of his corner. Clay had become the new heavyweight champion of the world.
Liston, now give us that poetry on number 7. He wanted to go to heaven, so I took him in 7.
You took him in 7.
I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it. You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man. Wait. I shook up the world!
What do you think of Cassius' victory in Miami?
I think it was a great victory. He proved he was the best man.
And where were you during the fight?
I was in the auditorium watching the fight.
Right at ringside.
I was in seat 7.
The nation's leadership bypassed Malcolm and called Clay directly. They accepted the young champion into the Nation of Islam and announced his new name, Muhammad Ali, at their annual convention on Saviour's Day. Malcolm was not invited. In his place, introducing Elijah Muhammad, was Malcolm's former protege, the minister from Boston, Louis X.
All right, Now here's where we start moving into the advanced theories of the Malcolm X assassination. You get all that? Let's just go over the coincidences that occurred. Number one, we have a loudmouth nobody beating a veteran champion to be the new champion. That's the first, Ali, well, Cassius Clay beating Sonny Liston. Then we have Louis X, who was the protege of Malcolm X, a loudmouth nobody, taking the place of a veteran, the one who was the champion, so to speak. So we have that parallel. We have the fact that Malcolm X was supposed to be the one bringing him in, but instead Louis X is the one who gets to bring him in. We also have the fact that Malcolm X is sitting in seat 7 ringside, and that Sonny Liston, he didn't get knocked out. It wasn't any type of real victory. He just didn't answer the bell. To me, if you ask me, these are either a lot of coincidences or this was a setup, a fixed fight. And if you don't know that boxing has always been fixed, I'm not saying every single fight that ever existed was fixed, but you know that boxing, just look at Don King. So much of it. If you don't know the corrupt nature that Don King is, then how do you sleep without knowing so many things? I mean, honestly. So this was in no doubt the ritual that was ushering in this new system of the Nation of Islam, and they did it through the sporting event here. Hey, we're moving into the advanced theories. You probably haven't heard these. I haven't seen any of this on any site, because I've thought of this myself. This is the way that I saw it. When I was watching all this video, I started hearing this number 7 reoccur so many times, so many things, and you know that they use numbers. They didn't just pick 9/11 for any day. They didn't just pick March 11th for any day. These things, when these things occur, when these dates happen, not to mention his house was firebombed and 7 days later he was killed. That's another 7. Malcolm himself started to put everything together and started to see that there was something odd that he couldn't put his finger on. And one of his best friends, someone who was with him right before he died, gave an interview and he talked about something that Malcolm said to him. Let me play that right now. Maybe that'll put a little more insight into why I'm saying that there's more to this than we can see, that there's a hidden hand, that there's some mysticism, that there's all types of things that we can never truly know the full truth of, but we can speculate and we can come up with theories. We can come up with things that make sense based on our observations.
Malcolm got upset about something in the car. This is about 3 or 4 days before he was killed. And he said, I'm the seventh son of a seventh son. I spent 77 months in jail, which is 7 months less than 7 years, and then became minister of mosque number 7. And there's a lesson in all that. I said, what did he say? So I played it back in my mind. I said, the seventh son of a seventh son. I talk to people, I talk to authors, everybody tells me, Malcolm wasn't the seventh son, he was the seventh child. I said, I'm not a genealogist, man. I don't know nothing about his family. I'm just telling you what he told me. I know what I heard. I'm the seventh son of a seventh son. I spent 77 months in jail, which is 7 months less than 7 years. And then I became minister of mosque number 7. And there's a lesson in all that. And he hit the steering wheel when he said it. I said, what's happening here?
Some crazy stuff. Some real crazy. I'm the seventh son of a seventh son. I spent 77 months in prison. 77 months is 7 months less than 7 years. And he became the minister of mosque number 7. Now that's a lot of sevens. And Malcolm started to see that there was a lot of this stuff just wasn't making sense. And when you start falling down that rabbit hole, it can start to freak you out. And hearing his friend explain that, I'm the seventh son of a seventh son, I can just imagine Malcolm being tripped out. He's probably flipping, bugging out. And this is 3 or 4 days before, the guy said 3 or 4 days before he was murdered. That's another 7 if you think about it. 3 plus 4 is 7. So 3 or 4 days before he was murdered, he says this to him, that he starts putting it all together and seeing it. And then you have, he was in seat 7. Muhammad Ali, the 7th round, is killed. It's just, you got to start seeing that these people plan certain things and they work certain things because they do it by numbers. They do it by whatever mystical powers, anything they have. The 21st day is actually 3 sevens if you want to look at it from that perspective. How about that? That's another one. I never thought of that one. there's just so many. And Malcolm started to see it, and it scared him. And he was right, because he knew that something was coming. He said there's a lesson in all that, because there is. There is a lesson, and I hope you're all learning this lesson. That if you turn your back on the Masons, they'll just kill you. So the best thing to do is just not join up with them, because they're murdering folk. I don't know where to go from here, because there's so much, and there's only so much you can prove, and then there's so much you can speculate, and I know not a lot of people like to talk about the stuff that you can't prove, but you can speculate on, but hey, there's a lot of it. And who can really ever prove anything? But I'd say there's enough to have circumstantial evidence, there's enough to have people be questioned. I mean, if this was a normal person, if this was you, me, or anyone else, and there was even this much evidence, we'd be questioned in a second, and we'd have a real investigation. But all these years, the people who are sent to prison, we found out that they're not the ones who did it. And if you watch that movie, Brother Minister, they have one of the men who went to prison. And he talks about, you know, what that was like, being convicted of something that you didn't do. So look into this, research this, find out why all these sevens occur. Find out why Muhammad Ali was not a very religious man. He apparently had been joining the mosque, going around mosque for a couple of years, seeing what they were all about, but then doesn't officially become one until he has a ceremony with Louis X. It sounds again like one of those, you know, you tap in your brother, just like the Skull and Bones, how those secret societies work. You gotta be tapped in by one of the higher members. How about some more songs? I kind of am on overload, so tired. This takes a lot out of you. All this reading and all this clip editing. Yeah. Let's just listen to a song.
Malcolm, just are you prepared to go into the United Nations at this point and ask that charges be brought against the United States for its treatment of American Negroes?
Oh, yes. Please. I think you're right in my chair. The audience will have to be quiet. As I pointed out when I was doing my traveling, that nations look, African nations and Asian nations and Latin American nations look very hypocritical when they stand up in the United Nations condemning the racist practices of South Africa and that which is practiced by Portugal and Angola, and saying nothing in the UN about the racist practices that are manifest every day against Negroes in this society.
You're listening to Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech and the number one activist site on the internet, revereradio.net. Step into our world.
They get a terror storm alone because they're afraid of it. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. Revere Radio.
We have to account for at least two of the guards. There were actually more, but two guards in particular need to be addressed. One was a man by the name of Robert 35 X Smith. Okay. The other one's name was Charles 25 X Blackwell. Both of them former members of Jersey Mosque. And what's going to happen is they're the two. They had just had a restationing of the guards right before the shooting took place. And so one of them were the rostrum guards. Now, what's important here for us to understand is that these men recognize apparently all of the assassins according to one person, but most likely, if not all of them, at least some of the assassins. And they basically did nothing. They said nothing other than to maybe one or two people after the assassination. And we have no evidence that they took any steps to try to see that justice was served, whether they went through the law enforcement or on their own. You would have to find it very odd. If you're a rostrum guard, and remember now, you're looking at the audience. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to be up there doing, looking at the audience, looking for any type of challenges, any type of faces, but, you know, particularly people from the nation. That was your job, by the way. Your major job was to make sure nobody from the nation snuck in who could cause trouble. That's your job. And you're recognizing this man over here I remember him from the mosque. I think I remember that man from the mosque. The person sitting next to him, I think I remember him from the mosque. Antennas should have went up.
I knew no brothers in Mosque 25 other than the minister there, who was Minister James. He was the head minister there at Mosque 25.
That's one thing that was erased from our minds, was the fear of death. It was absolutely erased from our minds. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. They're not in the FOI. They can't conceive of any group of brothers doing something, carrying something like this out in public.
I do not believe the jealous idiots within the Nation of Islam had the intellectual capacity to understand the depth of a Malcolm X, the direction of a Malcolm X. So therefore, their hands may have killed him, but the direction of their hands, the intent, came from outside.
When the defenses fail, or stand down, or do something other outside of the normal, what the defense would normally do, whether that be stopping to change people, whether that be not searching people, whether that be standing down, with protocol would be to send out fighter planes, whatever it may be. That's how you know that there's an inside job taking place, knowing that it isn't just some vigilantes on the outside coming in and doing this. It's in from the inside. Someone on the inside is helping to let this happen. That's what we saw on September 11th, and that's what we saw on February 21st of 1965. Too many coincidences. The changing of the guards not recognizing anyone or doing anything about the people in there. The fact that they say that Malcolm on that day didn't want to search anybody, not to offend anybody. Although, 7 days prior, his house was firebombed and he had asked for extra police protection. You have all these factors, and then how can we still say that it was just some random vigilantes who decided to kill him? It's not. It's not that way. And the last guy put it best, that even if it was just some jealous idiots in the Nation of Islam, someone on the outside pushed that hand. And we've seen that it could only have been the CIA, the FBI, the United States government working hand in hand with the Nation of Islam. I hope you've been able to see that tonight through these. I hope I gave some good information. I really, at this point, I feel like it's been so cluttered, but at the same time, hopefully it was coherent. Hopefully you understand. Hopefully you see the big picture. And if not, go out and research and read this crap for yourself, because there's so much out there. There's so much. And you'll start getting into it, and it'll be just like another JFK for you to discover, to fall down a rabbit hole and see how this hidden hand extends through all things. Nothing happens in this country or in this world without them forcing it to happen. They truly are the watchers, and they make everything happen. So I said I was going to play a song, but instead I played this clip. Maybe I will actually play a song right now. I'm just trying to find something. We got about 10 or 15 minutes left, and I think to try to squeeze in some more information right now would be silly, so maybe I'll just play some clips and play a song, and we'll end the show like that tonight. This is Save Your Generation, Wednesday, February 21st, new time, 7 p.m. Stay tuned after this show, because in about 20 minutes you're going to have Rob Revere live, his new live show, Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock. I mean, doesn't get any better than that.
You do what they told ya.
Stop doing what the Babylonian beast machine tells you to do. Listen to Save Your Generation. Now in its all new time, 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights on RevereRadio.net.
Save Your Generation. Pulling you from the flames of hell since 2006.
Burn! Burn! Yes, you're gonna burn! Go to one!
We'll be right back.
We are officially out of time for this episode of Save Your Generation. It is Wednesday, February 21st. This is the 42nd anniversary of the murder of Malcolm X, and that was the subject for tonight's show. Who killed Malcolm X and why? We have two sects that could be the easiest and obvious culprits. That is the CIA, United States government, and the Nation of Islam, both who would have nothing but gain if this man was dead, and only to lose if this man stayed alive speaking his truth. And the truth was coming out of this man's mouth at all times. He never said anything that wasn't the truth, and they were scared by that because they wanted somebody who would say what would fit into their paradigm and into their lies. He wouldn't. He was uncompromising in that. So they had to take him out. And I hope that hearing all this tonight is enough to make you want to research and see more about this man, Louis Farrakhan, see about Wallace Furad Muhammad, see about Noble Drew Ali, see about all of these people and why they're important and why they created this Nation of Islam. And then you'll see it leads back to the same thing as all these, everything always leads back to mysticism, the mystery religions, and Freemasonry. Period. You can always connect the dots back to that, and this is no different. So I'd like for all of you to do some research and then share with me what you found, because I know that I wasn't able to get everything and I wasn't able to present everything tonight, but hopefully you will do a show about this and expose even more than I did. I also want to urge everybody listening right now to go to revereradio.net and give a donation, even $1. I used to say that if you gave a dollar and you contacted me, I would even burn you some DVDs to watch or to enjoy or give to your friends or something. So just give something, and if you want something back, if you feel like you don't want to, if hearing these shows isn't enough for you, you want another return, then hey, hit up jay@tiredofbeingalive.com. And you know, I got a whole bunch of truth DVDs, lots of great stuff. Stuff you need to be watching, stuff you need to be getting into, because the best way in this day and age to deprogram yourself is the same way that they're using to brainwash, and that's through the media, through the TV. You're seeing, you're hearing, you're taking it all in at once. It's way better than reading, because there you're not getting the visual aspect or the audio aspect. You're just reading the words. So we got to use this tool that we have and share it, and share this information by any means necessary in any way we can. And on that, visit our sponsor, Phalon.com, where you can see these movies. Just as I was saying, you got to watch them. Go to phaylon.com and stay tuned for Rod Revere live in just a few moments. I'll play one more song for you guys tonight, and I hope you enjoyed the Malcolm X February 21st assassination special. Yeah.
Love casts out fear. We don't give a damn about no white man law when you attack what we love. And frankly, it ain't none of your business. What have you got to say about it? Did you teach Malcolm? Did you make Malcolm? Did you clean up Malcolm? Did you put Malcolm out before the world? Was Malcolm your traitor or was he ours? And if we dealt with him like a nation deals with a traitor, what the hell business is it of yours? You just shut your mouth and stay out of it. Because in the future, we're going to become a nation. And the nation got to be able to deal with traitors and cutthroats and turncoats. The white man deals with his. The Jews deal with theirs.
Death is better than living on this earth with the unbelievers among us.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die.
If you'd like more information on the Savior Generation broadcast, or if you're just sick of all the lies, visit tiredofbeingalive.com. That's tiredofbeingalive.com. I'm doomed.